Wisconsin's highway construction needs, both current and proposed projects, total more than the cash available. That's why the fight in the new state budget was over how much to borrow. Governor Scott Walker in February recommended $1.3 billion, but the legislature dialed that back to $500 million, but maybe an additional $350 million. To sort out what happens next, my thanks to State Transportation Secretary Mark Gottlieb. Mr. Secretary, welcome back to Wisconsin Eye.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Let's talk about an overview for 10,000 feet. Okay. The governor recommended, as I said, $1.3 billion. Your transportation revenues came in, according to Fiscal Bureau, at about $1.8 billion. And federal aid totaled in 2014 $700 million, but there's still not enough money. So what's the impact, 10,000-foot view, of not having the budget that you recommended last fall, sir?
Well, certainly we won't have the resources to do a lot of things that we would like to do to maintain mobility in the state, reduce congestion, improve safety, and preserve our 12,000 mile highway system, 5,000 bridges, and so forth. So the budget that was adopted does reduce spending in our core rehabilitation program by about 5% over the biennium compared to last biennium. It does reduce spending in what we call the Major Highway Development Program by about a third over the biennium, which I know we'll be talking about some of the project impacts of that.
Yes.
And likewise, there were some changes with regard to the Southeast Freeways program, which we've been in the middle of since we started the Marquette Interchange. So certainly impact to the budget, the contingent bonding proposal that you mentioned, and I know we'll be talking a little bit more about that. That's a new thing. I mean, the legislature hasn't chosen to do that kind of thing before, and I think we're finding it to be a little bit of a challenge in the sense that, you know, we're an agency that by necessity plans very far in advance.
Yes.
And we program our projects
way out.
And so the uncertainty of not knowing, are we going to get that money, or if we get it, how much of it are we going to get, and when are we going to get it? That does create a challenge for us in working with our regional folks and others on, you know, how are we going to plan a program for the rest of the biennium?
Okay, well, let's talk about how we got here. Let's do a little history lesson and to bring our viewers up to date. In the last biennium, we borrowed $991 million. I got to be careful of the millions and the billions. Mm-hmm. Then in February, the governor recommended, as I said, $1.343 billion. Mm-hmm. The legislature was uncomfortable with that level, and they also couldn't reach agreement with the governor on any fee increases. Our gas tax hasn't gone up 2006, which you well know. Our vehicle registration fees haven't gone up since 2008. Mm-hmm. So they dialed back to 1.3 to 500 as baseline borrowing. Mm-hmm. But this curious provision, an additional $350 million subject to the approval of the Joint Finance mm-hmm. Committee. Mm-hmm. What's going to be WISDOT's timetable? First of all, are you going to recommend borrowing the full $350 million? Maybe that's the first question.
Yeah, sure. I think over the biennium, we were given the authority to ask for $200 million in the first year of the biennium and the balance in the second year of the biennium, subject to some adjustments that would be made depending on what our revenue stream looked like in the first year of the biennium. And I think it's our hope that we certainly can use the money and put it to good use on our transportation system. So I think we want to ultimately request all the money.
Well, how's that going to work? Are you going to do it in two segments? Are you going to ask for the $200 million here pretty soon so you can hit the letting schedule for 2016? What's the timetable, Mr. Secretary?
You know, to some degree, that's dependent, obviously totally dependent on what the Finance Committee decides that they want to do. You know, my understanding is that there's still a lot of concern in the Finance Committee about the level of borrowing and about making this decision this early in the biennium, and that's really why we haven't asked yet for anything.
Really?
You know, my hope is as we continue to work with folks in the legislature that, you know, we will at some time possibly, you know, later in the fiscal year make at least the first request. But again, you know, I want to be clear, there's still a lot of angst in the legislature and in the Finance Committee on the levels of bonding in the highway program. And so we need to be careful about that, but I think we will want to go in and ask for the money. As far as what you asked about the 2016 construction,
you would
program,
want to hit again, that construction.
Well, see, that gets into this sort of long range planning issue. I think we've pretty much, and the committee's aware of this, I mean, we've pretty much shot past what would be a reasonable deadline for that money to have any significant impact on our 2016.
Really? You're already past that?
Yeah, when you look at the amount of time that it would be involved in the Finance Committee review process and then lining up the projects for advertising and letting and in order to get them at the right time to open bids for them, it's getting kind of problematic at this point.
Well, does that mean then that you're going to backload it and ask for the full 350 in the second year of the biennium, Mark?
I think it's too early to tell, but I would say that it's likely that, you know, we certainly believe that we can use the whole $350 million. We can put it to very good use. There are project needs out there. There are project delays that we have been very, you know, forthright with people about what they are as a result of not having those funds. So I think at this point, I can't tell you what the exact timing is going to be, but if I had to guess now, I would say it's certainly our hope and our plan that we would be trying to get all that money at some point during the biennium.
What's your deadline? You spoke about joint finance authorized up to $200 million the first year of the biennium, the one we're now in.
Yes.
And the remaining $150 in the second.
Right.
What would be, if it were up to you, your optimal deadline to ask for that $200 million for the first year, sir?
Well, just to be clear, the way the budget was written, we could ask for nothing in the first year and ask for the whole 350 in the second
year. You could.
Year. So we don't lose the ability to ask for the first year's allocation.
Understand. And the longer that you don't ask for that, does that increase the likelihood that you'll be asking for the total 350 in year two?
I think either way, you know, again, because our needs are, I mean, let's just back up and take a step back here.
Please do.
You know, our needs are significant. As I said, we're reducing spending in our core preservation programs. We're reducing spending significantly in the major highway development program. So we definitely, you know, want to have the resources as much as possible to keep as much of our program on track as possible. So I think we will. We do want to ask for all the money, and I think it's just a matter of when is the committee going to be comfortable with making that decision. And, you know, they may be wanting to look and see how revenues come in and so forth and how the rest of the budget looks because, again, the first $200 million, as it was specified in the budget, is debt service that goes against the general fund, GPR debt service. So I'm sure the committee wants to take a look at, you know, what are revenues looking like in the general fund and so forth and so on.
Part of this equation is federal aid. Now, in 2014, our federal aid totaled $710 million. My source on that is the Fiscal Bureau. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, you have this impasse in Congress. They keep putting Band-Aids on long-term funding issue. As you well said, DOT likes to project years out. What are you penciling in for federal aid in some of these out years?
Mm-hmm. We're assuming that federal aid will continue at the levels that we've been receiving. That's typically what we do. So the Federal Surface Transportation Authorization Bill, which is what generates the funding for us.
It's the one they keep kicking
right.
down the highway?
So that's currently on an extension that expires on October 29th of this year. There is a lot of talk in Congress about a long-term reauthorization bill, which is certainly what we would like to see, a 5 or 6 year reauthorization bill. It looks like Congress probably won't be able to get that done by the end of October, so I think our best guess is there'll be maybe one more extension, but that there will be a reauthorization bill here, you know, hopefully by the end of the calendar year, which would, if Congress can get a handle on the revenue issues that are there in the federal program and the Highway Trust Fund, then we'll get, we will still be anticipating that we would get as much or more federal highway aid as we're getting right now, and that's what we've budgeted for.
A follow-up to the federal issue, is anybody, as they talk about a new transportation funding bill in Congress, is anybody talking about taking the handcuffs off in terms of tolling? You know, that's the preference of the Speaker and other of our lawmakers. Is that part of the debate in Washington, or is that off the table?
I don't think it's off the table. I sense that there is more and more discussion about it in Congress. It's certainly not a sure thing, but I think the question may be addressed in the next bill, and it could be addressed in a variety of different ways. One would be, like you say, just take the handcuffs off, tell the states,
You want a toll toll?
You want a toll toll, do that. They could also do a variety of other things. In the past, there have been pilots that were, like there's three of them right now specified, three different states that can, that are given the authority to do some tolling on the interstate. So Congress could extend that pilot program to some more states, you know, if they didn't want to open the, you know, proverbial floodgates totally. But there was certainly a lot of talk about it, but, you know, maybe nothing will happen, but maybe something will. There's certain interest. And again, you know, a lot of it depends on, you know, I think a lot of people in Congress recognize that they have a challenge with, you know, meeting the revenue needs that they have to meet the commitments they've previously made to the states. And if they're not going to be able to get a handle on that revenue issue at the federal level, I think there's a lot of folks in Washington who say, well, then at least let's give some more tools to the states that they don't have now.
As you look out on the funding issue of WSDOT, do you think tolling will provide some relief 2, 4, 6 years out, or you're not just not there, given that you're a veteran in this job?
We've been asked, or we've been directed in this budget to do a fund solvency study, another fund solvency study. One of the things we will be looking at that in that study is what the possible how the possible implementation of tolling on the interstate system could work in Wisconsin if there were some federal relief. So we'll be able to tell the legislature by the end of 2016 when they start to work on the next budget and when the governor starts work on the next budget. I think we'll be able to answer a lot of questions about how tolling might work in Wisconsin. You know, it's a tool in the toolbox. It is, if the legislature decides to go down that road and the governor decides to go down that road, it's a tool. It's not a magic bullet that would solve all of our problems. But again, we're gonna do a pretty comprehensive study of it because, as you said, there's been certainly a lot of legislative interest in it.
Yes.
And so we want to be in a position to be able to give accurate, reliable information to the legislature and to other policymakers about what would this mean for Wisconsin.
I'm a little surprised that you say we've already missed the bid letting and the construction season. So here's my question. What is the driving public in Wisconsin going to see with these delays, these construction delays next year, Mark? Extensive?
Well, what do you mean by delays?
By some of these projects will be delayed. Mm-hmm. How is the driving public in Wisconsin going to see that next year?
You know, just like our planning process is a long process and our project development process is a long process, the impact of reduced investment is only seen over a longer period of time.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that if, you know, we've done a lot of modeling on this. We did it for the Finance and Policy Commission. We've done some for the legislature. At the levels of funding that we're at right now, people are going to see a gradual but noticeable steady deterioration in the condition of our state highway system. Now, we do prioritize what we call the backbone system, which is about 1,700 miles of the most heavily traveled interstate and federal routes around the state. We do prioritize the condition of that to try to maintain as much as possible. But I do think particularly off that backbone on your secondary system, people are going to see a gradually noticeable decline in system condition. And also, when we look at the major project delays, let's take I-3990, for example.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Our biggest ongoing major highway development project, we had originally talked about finishing that project in 2020. Now with the current funding levels that have been approved, we're probably at 2022. So I think what people will see there is just a longer and drawn-out construction process and the many benefits that they're going to get from that project, you know, that they won't be seen as early as they otherwise might have.
Well, now that we're into specific projects, let's talk about the zoo. The main east-west leg is going to be completed by when, Mr. Secretary?
We have the last big bid opening for the core of the interchange itself is going to take place later this month. That work will continue to 2018. The work that was so people will see the essentially the core of the interchange and the east leg that you talked about from 70th Street to the interchange.
Yes.
That'll be done. That'll still be on schedule to be done in 2018. The work that was delayed as a result of the budget is the north leg from essentially North Avenue up to Burleigh Street. That is not funded at all. We would have wanted to get going on that in this biennium.
15-17.
Right, that was not funded in this biennium. So that will be, the work on that will be pending whatever decisions the legislature makes on funding for the Southeast Mega Projects Program in the next budget.
In the next budget.
Right.
This budget tells DOT you may not work on the north leg of the zoo in this budget cycle, 2015-2017, correct?
That's correct.
Is that going to be a safety hazard? That's the busiest intersection in the state, as you well know, as an engineer.
I think we were asked if there has to be some reductions in the zoo interchange project and the overall delivery of it, how would we recommend sort of dividing that up and parceling that out? And we advise the legislature that, you know, that's probably, if you're going to make a delay, that's the way to do it. Let's finish up. You know, there was some discussion during the budget by some people that we maybe wouldn't even proceed on the core of the interchange. That would have had significant safety impacts, significant delay impacts to a lot of major stakeholders. So very fortunately, you know, we're moving forward with that under our normal schedule. The North Lake work, you know, will be delayed, which means that, again, the advantages that people would have realized from the improvements up there are going to be somewhat delayed.
What's the earliest now that you can foresee completion on the North Leg, Mr. Secretary?
Well, if we got the money in the next budget, and so we would have in fiscal 18, you know, my guess would be, you know, somewhere around probably 2020.
Mm-hmm. What about widening I-94 from Miller Park to, I think, 70th Street?
Yeah, we have a preferred alternative for the entire segment from 16th Street out to 70th Street, which would be the remaining gap between where the Marquette left off and where the zoo started up.
Yep.
We have a preferred alternative for that. What we need yet to have happen is we don't have any funding to move any farther with that project. And we don't have that project enumerated, so the legislature would need to enumerate that project. So as it stands right now, it would be, again, the next budget before we would get that project enumerated and be able to start to spend some money on the final design and moving forward with the preferred alternative that we have. Also, we don't yet have, we haven't totally completed the environmental impact statement, environmental process, to the point where we have approvals for that from Federal Highway Administration.
Okay.
We're looking at whether there are some ways during this biennium that we can still make that happen. But as of right now, we have no funding for that project, and we do not have construction authority from the legislature for this biennium.
And if you got both, funding and construction authority, when is the earliest possible completion of that widening from, as you say, 16th to 70th past Miller Park?
I would say, Steve, there's a lot of variables in that question, but
okay.
My guess would be somewhere in the neighborhood of, and again, if we got money in this biennium, that would require the legislature to basically come back in and amend the budget, obviously.
Which is very unlikely.
I would say.
As a former member of the Assembly.
I would say it's unlikely.
Former leader.
We would probably still be looking at, you know, 2021, somewhere in there probably.
Given the signals that you're still getting from Joint Finance, that they're leery of approving the additional $350 million, I've got to ask this. What's the worst-case scenario if your baseline bonding is limited to an additional $500 million in this biennium, sir?
Right. Our budget is based off of the appropriations that we have approved, which does not include the $350 million, and that is overall a 20% reduction in the state highway program funding, and that's coming at a time when our costs are going up. Our construction cost inflation over the last 10 years, going back to 2006, has been over 40%. So we're able to get, you know, less built for every dollar that we invest. So it's a combination of we have less money and we have higher costs. And so, you know, people will be seeing, you know, more delays in projects and continued degradation of our system until we get a handle on, you know, some sustainable method of financing the transportation system, which everybody knows.
There was great concern in the legislature that if we have to take construction delays and highway maintenance delays, that it be statewide. And not just especially penalize northern Wisconsin and the rural counties. Mm-hmm. Can you assure legislators and local government and civic leaders that that's going to be the case? Because you mentioned a 5% cut in the rehab program.
Right.
Now, rehab is a statewide maintenance mm-hmm. program, isn't it?
Well, it's a statewide rehabilitation program, yeah. So, and those cuts will be distributed, that 5% cut will be distributed across all of our regions. I mentioned the major highway program, which is where really the most of the cuts are
One
coming,
third.
About a third cut. You know, that's hitting a variety of major highway projects that are in different areas of the state. You know, 3990 certainly being one of them, 10441 up in the Appleton area being another one.
So, talk about that one. Now, that's under the current funding scenario. That will be delayed from when to when, sir?
I believe that's a 2-year delay also.
Okay.
I think roughly to, again, I don't have my tongue, but I think around 2020. Those delays are specific to projects. But, you know, one of the things I would like to point out with regard to this issue of, you know, spreading the pain across the state, so forth, however you want to put it, it's important to realize that some of these major projects, they are not just projects that benefit the areas that they're in. It'd be inaccurate and unfair to say, you know, well, the zoo interchange is a Milwaukee project. I mean, it's a project of statewide economic significance. A lot, there's 350,000 vehicles that pass through that intersection every day. They're not all coming from and going to Milwaukee. I mean, they're passing through to go to areas all around the state, to move freight all around the state, to move tourists all around the state. So I think it's important for people to realize that, well, certainly we want to make sure that we are maintaining our system all over the state as best as we can, that some of these really large investments, they are not important just to the counties or regions that they're in, but they have a real statewide significance that's of interest to everybody. So my point is that I think people out in the north central part of the state or in the western part of the state, northeastern part, you know, they should think of a project like the zoo or 94 as important to them as well.
The budget language, when you ask for either the 200 plus 150 or the entire 350, does WISDOT have to come in and list the specific projects that would stay on track and not be delayed if the additional $350 million in bonding was approved?
Well, all the budget language really requires is that we, you know, define the appropriations between the major highway appropriation and the rehab appropriation. But our practice going back certainly to all the discussions we had during the budget as different funding levels were talked about mm-hmm. has been to be as transparent as we possibly can. And so we have provided members of the legislature and others in the media and so forth with as detailed information as we can provide about, you know, what are the exact implications of different funding levels. So we're trying to be as transparent as possible about that. There's certainly a lot of variables involved in those decisions, but, you know, I think, yeah, they want to know fairly specifically what these different decisions mean, and we're certainly happy to provide that information.
What about the Verona Road project here in Madison? Mm-hmm. I kind of consider that Madison's version of the Zoo Freeway. mm-hmm. That's a major project, certainly for the Madison area. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be delayed?
Phase one Verona Road is moving forward. Phase two of Verona Road, the more southerly part of it, there'll be some delays there as a result of the budget, but certainly you see a lot of work going on right now. And phase one at the Beltline interchange and the Beltline work that we're doing is proceeding.
And what about our share of the Stillwater Bridge? Do we have that money in the bank?
All of our funds that we need. So Stillwater, St. Croix Crossing is a project that's being managed by Minnesota DOT. We have a funding obligation, and as well as an obligation of approach roads and so forth on our side of the river. And that's all funded completely.
So legislators, when you submit your request for the additional 350 bonding authorization, they're going to be looking, and WISDOT's going to tell them about what it would do to Highway 10 in Outagamie County, Highway 15, New London, Highway 23, Sheboygan County. Those are all going to be specified, right?
Right. We've been very upfront about what different funding levels in the majors program mean to all those major projects. Now, 23 that you mentioned in Sheboygan County, that's currently under lawsuit right now.
That's so the one that the federal judge stopped, right? Were you surprised at that decision?
Well, that's been a controversial project in the sense that there's been some environmental groups that basically questioned some of the traffic forecasting that we did. I will say that that project has enormous local support. Matter of fact, I just saw a letter that was written today by a group of legislators from that area to the federal judge, Judge Adelman, talking about the safety implications of that project. We have, you know, resolutions on file and other from local units of government and others in that area who really want to see that project. What the judge essentially did was he asked us and Federal Highways to provide some additional information about how we had arrived at the traffic forecasts that we have that we're using to justify the project, and we're in the process of compiling that information and we'll be supplying it to Judge Adelman. So I think the project is an important project. I think it will ultimately move forward, but it is under challenge right now.
Last fall, you recommended kind of a buffet of ways to raise revenues. Now, those weren't enacted, and let's not get into why, but I want you to look out as you, assuming you're still secretary, to fund transportation needs in 2017-2019. Can you see yourself recommending some of those same options as you did last fall?
I think it's really early for us to talk about the 2017 budget, other than to say that I think everyone acknowledges across the board, regardless political party, geographic region, I think everybody who's looked at this issue with any amount of rigor would acknowledge that we have to come up with something sustainable for the future, how we're going to finance transportation. And that'll be a challenge for the legislature and the governor in the next budget, just as it was in this one.
When the Democrats say the governor recommended such high bonding, $1.3 billion, because he was laying the groundwork to run for president, do you have a response for that?
I think the governor looked at the budget in the context of the entire state budget, and he was very clear and direct in saying that, you know, I am prepared to, you know, provide additional revenues for transportation if I can offset those elsewhere in the budget, because I don't want to, you know, increase the tax burden on the citizens and businesses of the state as writ large as a whole. And that's, you know, that's been the governor's consistent position. And, you know, so I think at this point we'll have to see how, I think people will want to look to see how, you know, revenues come in the future in the whole budget, you know, to state government, and see what that might mean for the future.
Okay, we're almost out of time, so two quick questions on different subjects. Your agency announced yesterday that the VIP, the dignitary unit, will be cut back from 10 to 5. Mm-hmm. First question is why? Second question is, have you seen any estimates of what the overtime order for that VIP unit could total going back to 2013?
Sure, I'll take the second question first. We're still working with the U.S. Department of Labor to get the exact parameters that we need in order to calculate what our back pay obligation will be. So it's too early to say, but I think within the next, you know, it'll just be a matter of weeks before we have that, and that number will be out there then once it's been determined.
A very quick follow-up. The Journal Sentinel speculated this morning it could be more than a million. Do you think it could be?
I'm not going to speculate until we've sort of resolved all those issues, but okay. You know, it'll be out there in a couple of weeks. As far as the size of the unit, we typically don't comment on operational issues related to the security of the governor or others. So I will just say that we are confident, and the leadership of the unit and the leadership of the State Patrol is confident that the way we are structuring the unit going forward and the resources that we're putting into it will be adequate to protect the governor, the First Lady, Lieutenant Governor, and any others that we were asked to provide that service for.
My second question is, I find it personally intriguing. Google is spending hundreds of millions of dollars on a driverless car. Mm-hmm. Is anybody in DOT, do you have a SWAT team studying that? Because when I read the stories on Google, they say we could only be a few years away.
Yeah, a timely subject. You know, our DMV administrator, just within the last, I think 2 weeks ago, attended a multi-state meeting and is going to be coming back, and we're going to be talking, you know, cross-divisionally throughout our whole agency, because that does impact legal, yes, the credentialing part, how we design the highways, how we operate them, everything. So we have been involved in some multi-state efforts to look at that issue, and I think it's one that we will be putting a multidisciplinary team together here very shortly to sort of try to truth out what the issues are that we're going to have to address. But you're right, the technology is moving very fast, and not just with so-called autonomous or driverless vehicles, but with connected vehicles that can sort of talk to each other, and with just the type of technologies that are existing in your vehicles that are available now, in terms of making sure you're staying in your lane, not letting you hit somebody else, blind spot awareness. All that actually has some impact on sort of how we design our facilities and so forth.
Well, as an engineer, can you see yourself entrusting you and your family and grandkids to a driverless vehicle at some point?
There's a lot of interesting legal issues about liability and so forth. And so, for example, California, which has passed some laws related to this, you know, did make it clear in their legislation that every vehicle has to have a steering wheel in it. Okay, so clearly they want to make sure that there's somebody that's in that vehicle that has ultimately got some responsibility for the safe operation of it. But beyond that, I mean, the opportunities for safety improvement that are presented by connected vehicles and autonomous vehicles is enormous, and it will be the next big revolution that will significantly reduce the number of people that are killed and injured on our highway system. And I think that's the thing we ought to really keep in mind.
And if you form an interdisciplinary team to look at this, do you expect to have recommendations for the next session of the legislature or beyond that?
I mean, it's possible. Certainly there will have to be some changes in law to accommodate the technologies that are evolving.
Okay. Fascinating. Transportation Secretary Mark Gottlieb, I want to thank you for the update on the 2015-2017 budget. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.